Union High School District Board of Trustees will please come back to order. The board's been meeting in closed session regarding student expulsions, public employee appointment discipline negotiations, and we did not take any action in closed session, and so we're now in open session to discuss the full agenda. Please stand, and Dr. Rockenberry, would you please?
Yes. Place your right hand over your heart. Ready?
Thank you very much. We have one wounded soldier here today. The preliminary function, the approval of the minutes, are there any additions or corrections to the minutes this month? Seeing none, it's been moved by Mrs. Henry and seconded by Ms. Hernandez to approve the minutes. Please vote. Advice. Thank you very much. Okay, it's time then for board committee reports and activities.
Thank you, Trustee Castry. I was able to attend the Classified Staff Development Day. It's always such a great turnout, and I'll be brief with my report. Someone else can speak more to that. Was also able to attend the California School Boards Association Board of Directors meeting representing Orange County as the Region 15 director, and we spent most of the weekend talking about the new initiative that California School Boards Association is going to be driving forward this year about, and you'll hear a new alphabet soup, CTAG, Closing the Achievement Gap. And the plan is to create legislation and get some authors to take it forward, and we're looking at probably 3 to 4 bills this year that will hold the legislature as accountable as local schools are for the achievement of students, because for too long we've had our work at the local level judged by data and by data points that we have to reach, and yet the legislature is never held accountable what they provide for us to do that work, nor any kind of accountability at the state level for what is supposed to be one of the biggest charges of the Constitution of the state of California. So that was very exciting to hear about. I also, just today, and I believe it's recorded so you can also see it, Capital Advisors put on a webinar about the federal fiscal and political impacts on student mental health and wellness, and talked at length about the budget for the feds having been kept pretty much stable for this year, and the warning signs that basically in the next 2 weeks we're going to start hearing about cuts, and not to mistake that that's cuts for this year, but for the following year, because we have assigned federal education budget signed a week ago, and it keeps funding level. So not to panic when we start hearing about impending cuts, but they will be for the following year, and we shouldn't be surprised about those. And at least it will give us mobilization and time to address those when they come out. And to be sure to be cognizant in the State of the Union when we hear that, there may be clues that we need to be looking for as far as what we can be doing on the local advocacy front as far as federal funds for education. And that's my report. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ms. Hernandez?
Just briefly, I along with Trustee Dishno, attended the Unified Art Show last week at Marina High School, and so we also did a walkthrough of the library there. I don't know if you've all seen, but there's a makerspace and 3D printers and a lot of resources, and so hearing what our library had to say about what's on the ground and, you know, what the future looks like for that site. So was really great to see the student artwork and then also to see it in that physical space. There's a lot of opportunity there and very impressive artwork. I think probably a lot better than what we could have put on the wall that day. And then I also observed the walkout at Ocean View High School on Friday, knowing that we had had the other ones. I was just curious, especially since I get a lot of calls from parents, you know, there's the security look like for our students, what's the safety plan, and so I was really impressed by the district staff and the school site, both Ocean View but also the other staff that came on the site to make sure that our kids were being safe, that they, you know, weren't going onto the streets and protecting their First Amendment rights. So it was really well done, and so thank you, Dr. Ibarra, and everybody who was there. I know we got a lot of steps in that day, and so it put my mind at ease to know that we're thinking of our kids and taking
thank you. Any additional?
Yes. Been a busy month since the last board meeting. I'm not going to go through all of this. I participated in that Orange High School Board Association webinar with Kevin Gordon, and one of the things that I took out of that I hadn't heard before was his insistence that the funds that are going to be available, that state revenues are going to come in substantially higher. And either the governor or the legislative analyst had predicted or projected it. And he was very insistent about that there's been an error on the part of both those parties and that they are underestimating revenues they're going to come in the state of California this year. So that was a big change to me. I wanted to mention, I attended the art show at Westminster High School right after DTV. There was standing room only in that cafeteria. That's a big cafeteria, and it holds a lot of people. But it was, first they ran out of chairs. It was amazing, and hey, kudos to the students and the staff at Westminster for what they did. Also, I wanted to mention two visitations that I did. One to Coast High School. I just wanted to see how the transfer of that program from one site to another is going. And a very nice visit. If you've not had a chance to visit that program, I really would encourage you to trust me to get a chance to go take a look at it. The only, because it's still under construction, it's not fully complete yet. The one concern I had were students. And so if you have a chance to visit, take a look at it, see what you think. And maybe I'm off base, but I have a little concern there. This afternoon, I visited the ROTC program at Marina High School, and I was so impressed with it. I'm so delighted that program is in place. I hope it expands to the other five comprehensive high schools in the district at some point. They started with 8 students when the school year began. There are like 53 students in that program now. Half of them are females. They're doing a marvelous job. And especially, I think, for students who may not be finding their way. I don't know how else to say that. What a great program for them to be in, to provide the structure that I think they need. Anyway, also I would recommend, if any of you haven't seen it, stop by Wednesday. That Wednesday morning, the kids have their uniforms on, and the class meets in the afternoon.
Yeah, I'm going to be really, really brief. I just did want to mention, into a lot of things, but I was really, really impressed. Last Friday night with the Westminster High School had the first Met Gala fashion show, and it was just absolutely phenomenal. Oh yes, okay, good. I was going to bring mine too, but hearing things is a little bit difficult right now. So anyway, it was just so good, and I just was blown away. And our staff up there, Dana Ellis, is just absolutely outstanding, so creative. and the kids just really, the students just really bought into it. It was the AP art students and also the second art two student, and they were so creative, and now we're going to be getting them into work with Huntington Beach High School APA program as well. But just absolutely phenomenal and unbelievable for the first time out of the gate that they've ever done it before. So just kudos to Westminster for doing all these really exciting, unique things, and from the art show, I mean, all the way around, merits, whatever. I mean, they're just really doing a wonderful job on it. That's my nice.
Thank you very much. My colleagues have covered everything except the following, and that is I attended the graduation. I feel like I'm graduating. I attended the graduation of the medical assistant program that Huntington Beach Adult School does with the Orange Coast Hospital. And once again, we had a number of students who were graduating, and they go right to work right in at Orange Coast because there are jobs for them. So it's a fabulous program for our adult school. I also met with all the student leaders, with Dr. Agata, and I suspect she's going to talk about that, so I won't go too much into it, except that we talked about cell phone policy, which will be coming to the board in the next couple of months. So that's my report for all the other things that I was all running around at. We do not have our student board member here tonight, and Dr. Murray's not going to play students, so we're just going to move on to the next item. Okay, public communication to the board. We have two people who wish to communicate publicly with us tonight, and the board agenda provides that members of the public have the opportunity to address the board regarding agenda items before or during the board's consideration of any of those items. The people who wish to speak tonight are not speaking on any of the agenda items, but they are items that are covered within the jurisdiction of the board. 3 minutes are allocated to each person at the time that he or she speaks, and if more than three people wish to speak, we only have two tonight, so that's not a problem. We cut down the time. It's requested that questions be addressed to the board from the podium. The Huntington Beach Union High School District seeks to promote mutual respect, civility, and orderly conduct among district employees, parents, and the public. This policy is not intended to deprive any person of his or her right to freedom of expression, but only to maintain, to the extent possible and reasonable, a safe, harassment-free workplace for our students and staff. Individuals who require any disability need to let us know ahead of time. So tonight we have two speakers that have filled out the yellow cards, Jeff Doherty and Michelle Doherty. I'm not sure which one of you wants to go first, but please come forward to the podium and take down the microphones, and you'll each have 3 minutes. Okay, it looks like Michelle Doherty wishes to go first. So thank you.
Good evening, board, superintendent, and administration. My name is Michelle Doherty, and my son goes to Fountain Valley High School. I am also a Fountain Valley High School alum. Go Barons. I'm here because my son, unfortunately, was subjected to bullying that escalated into sexual harassment and hazing. This is not harmless behavior. This is not boys will be boys. It has caused real harm in our family. What is truly troubling is that the coach who was present, or should have been present, was made aware of this behavior and did nothing. There was no intervention. There was no report. And no action taken to protect my child. On Thursday, January 29th, is when my son came home and told us that he had been bullied the entire soccer season. He was mocked for his weight, for having a crush, and for his little sister. His sister is 9 and in third grade. The perpetrator made extremely inappropriate sexual remarks about her. My son had also been pantsed. His pants were pulled down on 3 occasions. Once in front of the girls' soccer team. When my son finally stood up for himself and told the team to stop, 4 boys held him down, took his shirt off and cleats, and threw them. This is assault and false imprisonment. This event was so tragic on Thursday that I got a phone call from 2 other moms saying that their sons came home very upset, 1 in tears. They told their parents about what happened with my son and that they want to quit soccer. On that Thursday night, I had my son text Coach Duke. Coach Duke said he would address this on Friday. He did nothing. He did not even report it to administration. As a coach, you are a mandated reporter and an adult responsible for student safety. When sexual harassment occurs, an adult chooses inaction, that failure becomes part of the harm. Despite this, this student is being able to go to the upcoming soccer banquet, an event meant to celebrate students. Allowing the perpetrator to attend sends the wrong message. It tells victims that their safety is secondary. It tells students that there are no real consequences. My son should not be forced to share a celebratory space with someone who violated his sense of safety. No one should ever be put in this position. Additionally, Coach Duke told my son to toughen up and to stand up for himself when he was being bullied. Victims do not all respond in the same way. I was very proud of my son for standing up for himself. I am here speaking up for others. I am asking at the very least the perpetrators not be able to attend this banquet and the board addresses the serious failure in the supervision. At a minimum, this coach should be put on review. Every student deserves protection. I am standing up for future victims so that no family has to experience the awful pain that my family has endured the last couple weeks. My son deserves better. Huntington Beach High School deserves better. I urge you to do the right thing.
Thank you very much. Jeff Doherty.
Members of the Huntington Beach Union High School District Board, I'm here tonight as a parent of a Palm Valley High School freshman who is deeply disappointed and frankly disgusted by how bullying and hazing were handled on my son's soccer team. Over the course of the season, my son was bullied, harassed, and hazed on multiple occasions. Sexual comments were made about his 9-year-old sister. Let me be very clear, that alone should have stopped everything in its tracks, but it didn't. The season ended with an incident that should alarm every person in this room. My son was pinned down by four teammates, stripped of his shirt and cleats, while he screamed and kicked to get free. This was not joking, or boys being boys, it was assault. We only learned about it because another player, deeply upset and disturbed by what he witnessed, went home and told his parents that night. That child showed more integrity and courage than the system that was supposed to protect my son. Now let's talk about accountability. The main perpetrator responsible for most of the bullying and sexual harassment this season, the team captain, received a suspension from the administration but was allowed to play the last game of the season because the coach wanted to win the last game. And then he's supposedly permitted to attend the season banquet. That decision alone sends a message, not just to my son, but to every player watching, that this behavior is survivable, that you can humiliate, terrorize, and harm a teammate, and still keep your jersey, your standing, and your celebration. When we questioned this, the principal of Found Valley High School told us, we can't take the banquet away from the student because he played the whole season. When my son heard that, what the principal said, he said, yeah, and he bullied me the whole season. That statement should haunt this whole room, this district. I've been a teacher in Fountain Valley for over 20 years. I know what happens when administrators are afraid to impose real consequences. Discipline erodes, students learn that they can get away with harmful behavior, and the damage spreads into classrooms, locker rooms, and onto fields, affecting many others who do nothing wrong. This student will not be expelled, not because the behavior wasn't severe, but because it's difficult and uncomfortable to do so. But accountability doesn't have to mean expulsion. It could mean being removed from the team. It could mean not playing next soccer season. It could mean being excluded from the banquet. Those are reasonable, appropriate consequences, and that the fact that they weren't used is deeply troubling. Because the lesson being taught right now is not character accountability. The lesson is that bad behavior can be managed, minimized, and excused as long as you're good enough on the field. My son learned that reporting doesn't protect you. The other boys learned that they can't get away with it. They can get away with it. The school has a contract that explicitly forbids hazing, harassment, and disrespect to teammates, and it references district policies on student contact. What is the purpose of a contract if violating it results in a little more than a slap on the wrist? I'm asking this board to take a hard look at how bullying and hazing are handled in athletics and to ensure that your policies and your contracts actually mean something. Because if they don't, then they're just words on paper and our kids are the ones paying the price.
Thank you very much, Mr. Doherty. Board will look at this. At this time, we'll have the superintendent's report. Dr. McBottom.
Thank you, Dr. Castri. Once a year, we have to make a really hard decision, a difficult decision, and that's choosing our teachers of the year. We have so many amazing teachers of the year, teachers in this school district, and every year our principals have to fight because there are so many teachers they want to promote as teachers of the year. This year, however, we did choose two outstanding teachers, Julie Shashari from Fountain Valley High School Social Studies. We surprised the heck out of her, didn't we? And second, we surprised John McGilligan, band teacher at Marina High School. And it was such a fun celebration. This marks the beginning of their reign as Teachers of the Year. Well, they'll be celebrated all year long and hopefully the rest of their careers. Both are longtime teachers in this school district and have provided such amazing teaching and dedication to many, many decades of students. We even have one Teacher of the Year here, Mr. Pham is here. He was a Teacher of the Year a few years ago. And so it's such a fun time for these teachers, and each year we celebrate them and herald such a dedicated group of people. So thank you.
You're welcome. And they're always so surprised. I think most of us were there and saw the surprise on their faces. Unbelievable. At this time, we have an award presentation for a very special woman in our community. And I'd like to recognize, and I hope I've got everybody, there are former board members in the audience. Kathy Iverson was here. Ah, so there she is. And retired superintendents, Dave Higgins in the back, and Dr. Susan Roper up here. And the personnel commissioners, President Anthony Ramirez and Alan Rasmussen. And all the rest of you, I'm going to tell you a bit about this exceptional woman. And her family's here with her to celebrate her. I first met Bonnie Bruce when she served on the Blue Ribbon Committee. I don't remember the year anymore. I think it was 1987. We established the committee at that time to look at a reduction in our programming because of the severe reduction in students that we had at the time, going from something like 28,000 down to about 18,000 students, and it was huge. Bonnie served on that committee and served so diligently and well that we then, when we had an opportunity to appoint to the board of directors in 1990, we appointed Bonnie to the board of trustees. She served from 1990, was elected on her own terms in 1992, and then again in 1996. And through this 10 years, she served as president at least twice. During those years, initially WOCSE, which is the special education board that is housed here in this building, Bonnie was a trustee. And we looked at that board at that time and said, you know, it doesn't make sense for a trustee who serves part-time on this board and on our four feeder district boards to be working with these huge issues that are dealt with the WOCSE board. And what we really think we should do is get all 25 board members. Now you can imagine 25 board members sitting down and discussing what it is that we're going to do. And in fact, Bonnie helped to lead that charge because she understands and knows special ed inside out. And what we did was have the superintendents then become the trustees of the WOCSE board. And that's been extremely successful. I think that's a big piece of Bonnie's legacy for the district. During those years, we also established the arts in a very special way in this district. The arts were being diminished around the state of California, and Bonnie Bruce said, this is not going to happen. So we established the School of the Performing Arts, and from that became the Academy for the Performing Arts, which, as all of you know, has grown and grown and continues to grow, and has just recently been awarded the Golden Bell from the State of California School Boards Association.
Bonnie's always been a voice of reason in our community. In the early 90s, when we established the limited open forum policy so that all of our students could participate in clubs if they chose to participate in, Bonnie made sure that we knew how many students would be affected if we closed the forum. And there were something like 9,000 students who would have been affected had we closed that forum. So she was a voice of reason then, as she always has been. Besides being a very busy board member, though, she had a very thriving business of her own, Chance and Bruce, where she and her staff worked with parents and their children to test those children and then to place them in the very best placements throughout the entire state of California. Bonnie kept records of all of those students from 1984, and I've been encouraging her to please write a book about that. I'm not sure that's going to happen, Bon, but we're going to work on it anyway. I'll keep harassing you till you do it. That's one of the good things that she can do in her retirement. Her service to our district continued for another dozen years as a commissioner on the Huntington Beach Union High School District Personnel Commission, where she served all of the classified employees in our district. Bonnie, we're here tonight to honor you for all your service, both to our community and especially to our district and to our thousands of students who crossed your path and whose path you crossed and made very, very special. We deeply appreciate your wisdom over the years, your caring for all of our students and the staff and all the board. Thank you very, very much, and I'm sure my colleagues have something more to say. But your commitment and your service is second to none. So thank you very much. Do my colleagues wish to say anything?
I've known Mrs. Bruce for more years than either one of us wants to admit, I'm sure. But all of the things that you said are just so reflective of who this lady is. And maybe on behalf of the one voice we will hear tonight, and that's the students that you impacted. How many thousands of lives have you impacted through your actions and your deeds on this board, on the Personnel Commission, on the work you've done as a private citizen? I just want to thank you on behalf of all of us. Thank you.
I wanted to express a long overdue moment of gratitude to you for taking the time at the end of your 6 years on this board when you chose to not run again. And I called you up, and my husband and I came over and sat in your living room with you and your husband and talked about what it meant to be a board member. And you encouraged me to run. And I just really appreciated that you took the time to talk to me as a parent from Fountain Valley High School. That's always stuck with me, your generosity of time, and I thank you for that.
Bonnie, I wonder if you'd introduce your family to us. I know that your son is here and your daughter's here. And why don't you come forward, and I'm going to come down to in order to give you a clap and invite my colleagues to do that because we're going to have pictures. Thank you. I think Chair Ramirez is prepared to make a few remarks, and then the Personnel Commissioner is present, Mr. Ramirez, and Dr. Rasmussen will join us as well.
Good evening, everyone. On behalf of the Personnel Commission, Bonnie, I want to say thank you. Your tenure with the Personnel Commission was instrumental in a lot of the activity that went on. I dare say that you guided me and mentored me during my early years as a Personnel Commissioner, and I can't even express the gratitude in complete sense of how much that meant to me. I appreciate the inclusion that you demonstrated. Leadership throughout all different departments and working and collaborating with the board, unions, and staff. You taught a lot of us about the dignity and grace of the Personnel Commission. For that, on behalf of the Personnel Commission, I want to say thank you.
another study.
Okay, so this is quite an evening. We're now going to have the honor of hearing from the students from Westminster High School who are going to tell us all about their merits program, and we're so excited to hear this. Please join us. Could we shut the doors back there just because they're still celebrating and partying back there? Oh, that's fine. Thank you very much, Dr. Smith. Okay. However you're going to do it, come on forward, and we're anxious to hear your presentation. This is a special program from the Merits Program at Westminster High School, which has been going for probably 20 years, maybe longer. You could go ahead, please.
President Castro, members of the board, and Dr. Agata, thank you for having us showcase merits tonight. I'm sorry for my appearance. I'm a little bit sick, and I also have allergies. Oh, here with me.
My name is Alucard Quevedo, and I'm a junior at Westminster High School.
My name is Michelle Shim, and I'm also a junior at Westminster High School. And we're both part of the merits program, and we're so excited to tell you more tonight. So to give you a little bit of background about merits, it's a STEAM program for Westminster High School, and it provides students real-world courses like AP Chemistry and AP Physics, and also other opportunities and experiences that help them build their careers, and networking opportunities, all with the intention of providing them a gateway to future success.
So merit students love to take ownership of our own learning, and we do this through our experiences with hands-on career opportunities. Myself, I love to create things, but not with wood or a screwdriver, but with code. And that is exactly why I want to go into a career of software development. And I heard from my CT teacher that there was going to be a competition. And I thought of what else would be such a fun way to explore my new learning than a competition with cybersecurity. But I didn't want to go into this cyber pages without knowing some type of code or programming. So after school and after my practices, I would go to see my computer science teacher and learn how to secure different computers like Windows or Linux. And beyond this, two of my friends actually saw me coming after school and were curious about what I was doing. And I had to explain to them the what, why, and how I was doing what I was doing. And really, them knowing what I was doing and why I was doing it really made them want to know more. And I even got them to join my Cyber Patriots team. And we actually made it all the way to semifinals. And another competition I was able to go to was LACTF. And this was a Capture's Flag competition. So think of just mini puzzles. And this was hosted at UCLA. And beyond learning during the thing, because this was actually my first Capture the Flag competition, I was learning the back end and the front end of the programs. But also, there was many lectures throughout the entire event, and we were able to actually network with some companies. For example, that's Raphael Rubin. He actually works at a company that deals with using AI in order to secure computers and programs. And a fun story that actually happened here, since this is at UCLA, it's mostly catered towards college students. So while in conversation with one of the coordinators, they stopped by our table and asked us, what university are you guys from? And it was actually really cool and a really good morale boost, especially since maybe on the leaderboard we didn't look too good, but it was more of an experience. And going beyond the AI company, I want to learn more about AI and where it's heading. And this is exactly why I attended the AI symposium. This was at the same college, Coastline College, as the Cyber Patriots, so I was very familiar. And not only did I get to attend and talk to different professors and see their research on AI, but two of our merit students actually were able to present their research on AI and AI gender bias. And since we're given so many opportunities, some of these opportunities are more catered to different students. For example, I went to the Society of Hispanic Professional Engineering event, and I was able to see somebody with my same background and see their path on how they succeeded in becoming a professional engineer. And I think that beyond everything, beyond just me going into cyber patriots and specific career-oriented things, I was able to attend things that I thought were just interesting. For example, I was able to go to a brain health lecture and actually hold a human brain. That is a human brain right there, and it's actually pretty cool, and I got to learn about it. And as you can see, I'm very smiley right there.
And for me, I was able to find my interest in science research through merit. So on the left side, that's my Orange County Science and Engineering Fair project. And the thing that really drew me to merit was the fact that instead of just taking a class like biotech or AP biology, I would have the chance to go out and actually make my own project. For this one, this year, I'm studying like a biochemistry about just like different things that make me interested. So as opposed to like everything being super structured, we're learning to take ownership of our learning because we're the ones like structuring our experiment and our hypothesis. And the one on the right is the Lemelson MIT Invent team. So with this project, I was able to, instead of focusing purely on like the technical aspect, I was able to move into finding, because this one we have to like design our own invention, and I had to lead 12 people, so it was definitely a new learning experience for me. And yeah, overall, both these experiences just helped me learn outside the classroom. And then another major part of merit is teaching students how to lead. So this is going to be our experiences teaching and inspiring them. So for me, one of the main ways that I've grown as a leader is through the Chief Science Officers Program. On the left, that's our Leader Institute, where we taught students how to just become better leaders and prepare them for their action plan. So during the year, each CSO is supposed to go out into their community and advocate for STEM. And I really love this event because kids are very shy, so just being able to talk to them and help them network, because a lot of them, like, they didn't even know how to do like a handshake, you know. So just like seeing that by the end of the day was really rewarding. And I got to practice networking in the real world on the right when I went to Washington, D.C. And while we were there, we got to go to like a bunch of different events and network with other CSOs. But one that I really remember was talking to this professor at ASU, and he was interested in public health policy and environmental science. And at the time, I didn't think that there was like going to be a career that was in like with that part of that. So it was really interesting just to be able to meet other people, because there's so many different perspectives to be open to outside of our own school.
And we're given so many leadership opportunities. And one of these opportunities that I think I connected with the most was the Hispanic and STEM Conference. And this conference is entirely student-led, meaning that the students are creating the itineraries and the different activities that the middle schoolers are going to do to show them the importance of STEAM and to the next generation. And myself and about 40 others have been leads for this for about 2 years. And this is where we bring in middle schools like Warner, Johnson, and Stacy, and we get to show them that STEAM is more than just complex math equations, E equals MC squared, but it's actually fun things like collaborating in order to make Legos, or build boats, or even cars. And not only are we just demonstrating STEAM, but we're making sure that we're building connections with the students by having specific discussions catered towards our experiences and our thoughts on their experiences.
And similarly, we held the Girls in STEM conference, also with middle school students. And you can see, like, we're just giving them a tour and helping them with hands-on activities. The point was not just to make them like interested in STEAM, show them that it's an opportunity. Like for me, when I was at Stacy Middle School, there wasn't a lot of opportunities. So just to be able to show them like this is what you have to be expecting when you're going to high school, and it's not like STEAM is like unattainable. It was really fun for me. And not only do we classroom or inside our extracurricular activities, but we also love to give back to our community from there. So one way that we do this is through the Giving Farm. So you can see these students, they're just picking strawberries. I know that's my favorite time of the year because you can just like pick them and eat them when you're out there. But yeah, these students, it's just such a great way to be outdoors and give back to your community, because homework and all that can get very, very repetitive. And this student on the top right, Jennifer, she's actually part of the Beekeeping Initiative, which is another great program that's associated with the Giving Fund.
And another way we give STEAM back to our community is through STEAM Fairs. And this is where we go to different elementary schools, and we just have a bunch of showcases that demonstrate STEAM. The most important part of this of these events is just to get the younger students interested and excited about STEAM and show them that STEAM is really, really fun, and just have that first exposure to it so they can explore it in middle school or in high school. On the top right there, you guys can see that they're actually exploring a rocketry. They also have things like heat lamps and art exhibits. And just to sum everything up, our students are not just taking the opportunities, they're very important, leading them, and that's the important part about showing the student leadership.
And so we wanted to thank you for all your support for the Merits Program. The pastoring members of the board, Dr. Regatta, thank you for having us showcase Merits tonight. And we hope you'll come to the Girls in STEM Conference on March 17th.
Oh, you did.
Sorry. I heard 17, that's right. March 18th, okay. What time? 9 a.m.? 6 a.m. Okay. I was so happy to hear that in most of the presentation we added the 8 and the art to the 7:15. So thank you for doing that.
Oh, great presentation. Thank you.
I love it. This is the best part of this evening, is when you guys come and talk with. And you know what impresses me so much? Not just your presentation skills, but you don't have any notes there. And if you look at adults who do that, they've all got their notes and they read. But you guys are amazing. Thank you so much, because I learned some things tonight. And this STEM conference goes all day.
I had a specific question and then some comments. How many school sites have you been at for these fairs? Because I know you were at Golden West. I know you've been at multiple schools. How many is it this year?
This year, but for the STEM fairs, we go to 4 each year, and then we alternate for like 1 school to like 2 years in a row. We went to Golden West, and then we also go to like the OC Fairgrounds and Anna College. So I think 15 probably different sites throughout the year, one day events.
And how did you all get comfortable holding those cockroaches at the fair? Because every time I see it at one of the fairs, I'm just like, how do you do this?
Yeah, I guess, I don't know, I don't like them.
What brought you to the program?
What brought me to the program was I really wanted the different opportunities that Merits was able to give me. Other students on campus, I tell them what I'm going to do, whether these competitions, they're like, I never heard about that. But again, you know, they're not in Merits. And at one point, I wasn't looking at my emails. Sorry, Mrs. Gonzalez. But I did, you know, have a conversation over my eyes to the opportunities that were given. And Ms. Gonzalez did open my eyes even more to look at the different high schools around us and see that we're actually given so many different opportunities to go on field trips and lectures and competitions that nobody really else knows about. And I think that's what drew me to that, is that the structure giving us rigorous courses, but also the opportunities after that, outside of school, and really just having fun with it.
For me, the choice was between like my friends at Marina and then, you know, Merits, because I didn't really know that many people at Westminster. And I chose Merits because, well, one, on the flyer, I saw that it said like field trips, and I thought that was really cool. But because besides that, I didn't really know a lot about the program. But, like, once I was there, I was like, wow, like, all these students are talking about all the opportunities they've had. And when I came to Future Lions Night, I think I visited Mr. Pham's classroom, and on the wall he had, like, all these photos of all the past students. And I was like, yeah, I think I'm going to go here.
Well, I want to thank you for your energy and enthusiasm about science. I was able to attend the Hispanics and STEM conference, and it's true. It's not just the Legos. I mean, you really keep all those kids engaged, and they're not all interested in science. Some of their teachers specifically bring them, get them excited, or get them outside of their comfort zone. And so there's a lot of that student leadership that I've seen firsthand that you all have made, and like I recognize a lot of faces from Merritt. And I'm so excited for whatever you do after high school, because I can't imagine, you know, the communities that you're going to be able to impact with your research and your work. And so I'm super excited. And just thank you to Mr. Pham and Ms. Gonzalez, because consistently it's a lot of work. I mean, I've seen Mr. Pham at the Giving Farm when those kids are working there. The day before Thanksgiving. I mean, they're constantly, there's a lot of time that they put in there, but those kids are just like so enthusiastic about learning, and I think kind of keeps some of us on our toes. So like,
thank you very much.
So, like, each student applies. I think they can apply, like, each year, like, before they become a senior. But, like, most people start off, like, you apply before your freshman year, and then, like, they check your grades and stuff like that. So it's not, like, everybody. It's just, like, automatically. And then there's also
merit. Do you have to reapply each year?
No, you don't have to reapply.
Once you're in your...
Mm-hmm. And then my understanding is that after tech, you're going to be having a big boost. You don't have to go anywhere to have it at all. You're right. I had said that it was going at least 20 years. Kathy, am I wrong? How many years is it really going? Kathy, I'm so glad you could be here tonight, both to celebrate Bonnie, but also to celebrate Merritt. And if my memory is right, when I used to go in your classroom, when you were still teaching me,
good show.
Hmm.
Thank you all very much for coming and sharing with us. We really appreciate it. And we'll see you next week. Next on our agenda is a resolution for classified personnel reduction. Approval is recommended to adopt the resolution for the reduction of specific classified services as presented. The board has the backup material on that. Is there any question or any comments about this? Is there a motion then to adopt the resolution?
Ad's not working.
All right, let's take a verbal motion, please. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Thank you, Mrs. Sonnier.
Second.
Seconded by Dr. Bishnell. Any further discussion? Oh, I'm so sorry.
Well, we're both tall.
You're both tall. What a day. I'm sorry.
No problem.
All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Okay, very unanimously. Thank you. We're then to the consent calendar. Are there any items to remove from the consent calendar?
No.
Hearing none, is there a motion to adopt the consent calendar as
written? I move approval.
All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 No. Motion carries 5-0. This is the end of the consent calendar. The board is going to go back into closed session in order to continue discussing the personnel items that we need to discuss. But first, let's talk about new business, and all of us need to have the presence of finding the documents as well. So we'll go back in there, finish our closed session, and then
here. I just had the two, which I would like a little more information about the Fountain Valley High School soccer program issue. My son went through the soccer program at Fountain Valley a long time ago, but is near and dear to my heart. So I would like a little more information about what's going on there. And then to Dr. Dishno's comments about COAST, and it's unfinished, but I'm curious, will there be a ribbon cutting situation happening when that's all done?
Yes, we're hoping the spring that we will be completely finished. DSA still has not approved electricity for the second portable yet. It's been over a year.
Yeah.
And then we're still working on signage for the school as well.
Okay.
So, yes, we will.
Okay, thank you.
Along that note, about Coast High School. Contagious now. About Coast High School, later in this, after we've done a ribbon cutting, we've been able to settle in. I'd love a presentation as well, because there has been so much change, both with the physical location and then actually how Coast is operationalizing with the students to be able to hear where we are with the program, what does it look like now with this new location, and you know, the philosophy and how our students are succeeding.
I can't wait to showcase that along with Valley Vista.
No, just to second that, I think it's the last meeting I asked at some point we have a presentation about Coast High School.
Concerned about the soccer, so if we could follow up on that would be very helpful. Do you have any new business, Tony?
No, thank you.
Dr. Brian,
yeah,
it's green.
No, thank you.
Okay, the board then will recess back to closed session to discuss
on documents. Thank you. We'll report out when we're finished, but there won't be any action taken, I don't believe, so no need for all of you to.